You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to The Chris and Joe Show on Big Blue View Radio, your go-to source for New York Giants analysis.
Pressure from Thomas off the edge. Eli Manning stays on his feet, airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
Welcome back to the Chris and Joe Show here on Big Blue View's audio lineup. I am Joe DeLeon, joined by Chris Plum, and we are continuing our off-season schedule preview for the New York Giants, sharing our thoughts and perspectives of the off-seasons of the teams the New York Giants are expected to face during the 2021 season. We've done all of the NFC East teams. We've done a few other non-interdivisional matchups for the Giants, and now we move on to week six, which is a matchup against the Los Angeles Rams. And this is a team, Chris, that really shocked the NFL world by making a major move at the quarterback position. Anytime that you make a trade to upgrade or change your quarterback situation, it is going to be the talk of the offseason. The Rams' major improvement, and maybe the only real improvement that we can point to, because they're hamstrung by their cap situation, couldn't really go out and sign many big name free agents. They brought in Matthew Stafford and swapped out Jared Goff. Now, there is a debate that will continue to circulate until about the end of the season, when we can confidently say who won that trade, on if moving on from Jared Goff is an upgrade, and if bringing in Matthew Stafford is going to correct some of the offensive issues we saw from this Rams team last year and also over the past few years with inconsistencies from Goff. But overall, you bring in a guy who's had a multitude of 4,000-yard seasons, multiple high passing touchdown seasons, has been productive despite his circumstance of being on a pretty bad roster most of his career. Matthew Stafford is going to be a very, very good starting quarterback for this Rams team.
Yeah, Matt Stafford has been, I think, one of the more underappreciated quarterbacks in the NFL over the last few years. Yeah, you know, his career got off to a rough start, you know, with all of those injury concerns and, you know, frankly, the Lions just not being good when he was a rookie and a young player. But Stafford has grown into a quarterback I think you can win because of. You know, there's really three types of quarterbacks in the NFL: guys who just should not be starting, guys you can win with, and then guys you can win because of. And Stafford, over the last few years, has been that quarterback you can win because of. He has one of the best arms in the NFL. His ability to make throws from just weird arm angles, to be able to attack all areas of the field with solid accuracy, is really just rare. You don't see too many quarterbacks, even with guys like Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray coming out of college nowadays. Yeah, having a quarterback with an arm like Matt Stafford is not common. And he knows what to do with it. He generally makes pretty good decisions. He generally places the ball pretty well. And that, I think, really does, that is where Jared Goff has been lacking. He is really more a quarterback you can win with. You know, he doesn't have the arm strength to attack all areas of the field the way Stafford can. He was prone to, we'll just say, some questionable decision making at times. And I think, you know, you say that Stafford could be the one big upgrade the Rams have made. And I really do think that the way their season goes will depend on how Matt Stafford and Sean McVay work together.
And Stafford is going to be just a big, big focus point for this Rams team during the whole season for a lot of the Rams, for a lot of the reasons that you mentioned, Chris, because they were having issues with Jared Goff. There were games where they lost because of some mistakes from Goff. He struggled. Obviously, he did have some success. He did have some big performances. But there were a lot of times where you really were questioning yourself, was this worthy of a first overall pick? And now you bring in Matthew Stafford, who is ready to prove himself being away from a franchise that has overall pretty much held him back most of his career. He did have some playoff appearances. He did have Calvin Johnson to lean on for a period of time, albeit not a super long period of time or as long as many people would have hoped. But Stafford now has to use this opportunity to the best of his ability. They have a decent quality receiving core of Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson hoping to step up into a bigger role. They did add DeSean Jackson, who I wouldn't necessarily count as an improvement. I don't really think that DeSean Jackson at this point in his career is even anywhere close to the same player he was previously. So he's probably not going to really do a whole lot for the Rams this season. But the last name that you obviously mentioned, Robert Woods, who a lot of people consider to be one of the most underrated players at his position in the NFL, super productive. So that receiving group is going to create a lot of success, hopefully, for Matthew Stafford. They do lose Cam Akers, which I would like to wait to get to until we talk about regressions. But they do have a pretty consistent running game, and I think Darrell Henderson can certainly take the load. Overall, though, this offense should be built to be successful with Stafford.
Yeah, and you know, that wide receiver group really is built to do what Sean McVay loves to do. He is really good at manipulating defenses. He gets into a personnel grouping he likes that matches up well with what the defense doesn't do well, and then he just calls so many different plays out of the same look. And the Rams have a pretty talented receiving group that can do a lot of different things and really create plays in space. And adding Matt Stafford's arm and ability to attack deep will unlock areas of the field for them that they just didn't have before. And, you know, losing Cam Akers definitely hurts, and like you said, we'll get to that. But Darrell Henderson, he's a running back I liked coming out of college. Yeah, I loved his contact balance, his ability to just kind of shrug off tackle attempts and keep running. Yeah, if he gets a good opportunity with the Rams and they're able to do what they want with the passing game, I can see them creating space for him to do what he does best. And then, you know, also, one of the most surprising draft picks, I think, for both of us was the Rams' first draft pick, Tutu Atwell, who is, on one hand, incredibly electrifying with the ball in his hand. On the other hand, for an NFL player, he is tiny.
Yeah, that first draft pick you're talking about, they didn't have a first-round selection from all these moves that they make by shipping off all these draft picks to bring in some big stars, one of them being Jalen Ramsey. Their first pick is Tutu Atwell, the receiver out of Louisville, who I've certainly questioned his size and his ability to be successful. I don't even know if Tutu Atwell is going to get into the rotation until his playing weight is up to a metric where the Rams can be comfortable, because the 149 that he was rumored to be at when he weighed in at the combine is just far too light to play on an NFL field. They might almost redshirt him, especially considering how relatively deep their receiver group is. They probably don't necessarily need to get him on the field for a ton of reps. I don't even know, though, Chris, if I can really say that their draft was an improvement, because like their first higher picks, they have Ernest Jones, linebacker from South Carolina, Robert Rochelle, the corner from Central Arkansas, and then Bobby Brown, defensive tackle from Texas A&M. And the rest of their picks are even more bleh than the ones I just named. There's not really a guy that they drafted that I can really point to and say, wow, they really upgraded at a position of need. They still need a lot of help at the linebacker position because, frankly, Troy Reader, who I played against when he was a defensive end, is not really a starting NFL middle linebacker that you want to be putting out there. So this draft for me does not really do it.
Yeah. Ernest Jones, their second pick, third round, 40th over, pick 40, is, you know, he's not a super athletic linebacker. He's smart. He comes downhill hard, but yeah, not that rangy middle linebacker teams seem to be looking for these days. Yeah, you know, the like you said, their draft is okay with what they've got. You know, Bobby Brown, he is a big boy, you know, 6'4", 320, 34-inch arms. That is definitely a contrast to Aaron Donald. But, you know, they already have good players on their defense. They've got a reasonably talented offense. So they didn't have to go out and have a home run draft. They basically just need to keep backfilling their depth chart and, if not radically improve positions, add positions.
So we're talking about these improvements, and I think the bigger cause of concern for the Rams is the regressions that they had over the offseason, one being a notable one that made significant headlines over the past few days. We're going to get to those regressions coming up very soon.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Chris, the first two names that the Rams lost during the free agent period are not necessarily big star names. However, they are underrated key contributors who are now playing for different franchises. I'm referring to Michael Brockers, who has been a Robin to Aaron Donald and has been productive in that secondary role on the defensive line, as well as Samson Abukam, edge rusher, who not necessarily a high productive sack guy, but somebody who gets to the quarterback, who can pressure opposing quarterbacks, and you lose him, your only real notable player in that group that I can really point to is Leonard Floyd, who's a good pass rusher, very, very good pass rusher, but you lose anybody like Samson Abukam, that is going to be a regression on your roster. So those two guys, underrated players, losing both of them is going to hurt this Rams roster.
Yeah, and I would say probably Michael Brockers in particular, with Aaron Donald on the roster, you don't have to worry too much about your pass rush. Aaron Donald is just built different from everyone else. He gets double teamed more than anyone else in the league, maybe even more than any two players in the league put together. And he still has a ridiculously high win rate, pressure rate. He racks up sacks. He is just absolutely disruptive. Yeah, you know, Brockers, he is really good at holding at the point of attack. He can be disruptive behind the line of scrimmage. Yeah, I think that is a big reason why they went and drafted Bobby Brown, you know, just to have that physical presence, that guy who can clog up the interior next to Aaron Donald while he does his thing in the backfield. The interesting loss, I think, will be the defensive coordinator, Brandon Staley, just because, you know, they've got Jalen Ramsey, they've got Aaron Donald, so they're going to have guys on defense who offenses absolutely need to be aware of, who really can scare offenses. But it's the other nine guys on the field, you know, how do they play? What will the scheme look like? Will they be able to get all the same matchups, get put in the right positions the way Staley was able to do so?
Yeah, Brandon Staley is one of the most underrated defensive coordinators. And I don't know if his name was really being brought up enough until he took that Chargers head coaching job. There's a ton of people out there, including myself, who think that the Chargers this year are going to have a huge season now that Staley is going to be taking over. Brandon Staley is a very, very good defensive coordinator, and you can point to, yes, the success of that defense and a reason why they were so successful being because they have two elite players at their position in Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald. But I also point to the man who was maneuvering and pulling the strings behind the scenes that made them so dominant. Now, I don't know if that's something that you can just easily transition out of. Any time that you lose a coordinator of a top-ranked unit, it is always going to be tough to replace that. I am not saying it is going to be a massive drop-off, but frankly, there is going to be some bumps early in the season. It's going to take time to get things rolling with a new guy at the helm.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, just imagine what the Giants defense would look like if Patrick Graham took a head coaching job. You know, we just don't know how ready the next guy up is to step in and continue what was built by that really good previous coordinator. You know, granted, the Rams went from Wade Phillips to Staley, and you know, that's pretty good. So maybe Sean McVay is good at identifying ability and talent and potential in his assistants as he is in designing an offense, but we just don't know for sure. And that, I think, is something that's going to have to, people are going to have to be aware of when forecasting the Rams.
Yeah, and we've seen some success from this coaching tree under McVay. Now, it's not always been consistent, and there's a reason why so many people hunt down these coordinators or even positional coaches like Zach Taylor, who's the Bengals head coach. You know, there's a reason why people come after these guys. And Alex Rollins, from just a quick search, is supposed to be the next guy stepping up. Hopefully he can take things over for the Rams. Hopefully for the Giants' sake, when they play him in week six, they're still struggling to figure some stuff out. But I'm sure that it'll be a somewhat seamless transition, but there are definitely going to be some struggles in the first half of the year before they really can figure themselves out. And Chris, the last regression that is so notable that has to be talked about is the loss of running back Cam Akers, who tore his Achilles during the offseason, while training, completely done for the year. We all know that that is an injury that is so hard to recover from 100%. And he was expected, many believed, would be a dominant running back in the NFL for a team that has run the ball so successfully and drafted him to be the successor and the replacement of Todd Gurley. And he really started to come on towards the end of last year. They lose Akers. They also lost Malcolm Brown during the offseason, who was essentially his secondary punch. Now, they do have Daryl Henderson, who has shown us some glimpses of what he is capable of. But I look at the rest of this group after Henderson, Xavier Jones, Raymond Calais, and then Jake Funk are the next names at that running back spot. So there might be some troubles running the football with no Cam Akers.
Yeah, certainly. And you know, I just have to say, you'd never want to hear about injuries at all, but especially when guys are working out in between mini camp and training camp. You know, they're working hard to come into camp in shape and up their game. And it just sucks to see an injury like this, especially something like a torn Achilles, which is it's a career-changing injury, especially for a position like running back, where you need that lateral agility. You need to be able to change directions and get behind your pads and explode downhill. And you know, this is one where, you know, I honestly don't know if he's going to be able to come back from that and be the same type of player. We talked before about how Daryl Henderson could have a good season. Like, he had 5 touchdowns last year. You know, he's not a chump. But outside of him, you know, like you said, they really don't have too much. And it's entirely possible that the Rams' number two running back might not be on their roster right now. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see them watching the waiver wire like a hawk as, you know, as cuts come out during camp and then file cutdowns. They could put in a waiver claim on just about every running back teams that are deep at the position let go.
And honestly, you know, if you think about it, they could go and pursue whichever Texans running back gets cut, because right now they have way too many guys. Maybe Philip Lindsay ends up being that secondary guy. They are going to need to bring in somebody, because I am just looking at it on paper. I don't know how you can be confident rolling with any of those backups and one of them being the secondary one. Maybe Jake Funk shows some stuff, the rookie out of Maryland, but I would not be super optimistic with the rest of those guys on the roster. Daryl Henderson you could probably roll with, but they're going to need to bring somebody in, as you said, Chris. So to wrap up today's show, as we always do, we like to pitch what we think is the best and worst case for these teams when we discuss them. And that helps paint the picture for what the Giants are going to be dealing with when they take on these teams. Now, if you remembered last year, the Giants played the Rams very closely. I think a lot of people assumed that they were going to get demolished by the Rams, but they played a very good football game when they played Los Angeles. And now this upcoming year, based on the moves that were happened and the changes that were made, I think losing Cam Akers does impact the projection. It's not a surefire, as some people were saying, guarantee for them to win the division or at least make the playoffs with Matthew Stafford now at the helm. That is going to hurt them. But best case, Daryl Henderson has a good year. They still win the division and they go to the playoffs. Worst case for me, Chris, I see them still just missing the wild card and maybe having like a middling, slightly above 500 record and just missing out on a chance at the playoffs. Simply because, as we've seen under Sean McVay, the years that they've not made the playoffs, they have at least been highly competitive. When you have elite defensive players like Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, and also Matthew Stafford running things, you're going to be competitive. You're going to knock off the teams in your division, get a couple wins here and there. You're probably going to dominate the bad teams on your schedule, and you might shock some of the really good teams on your schedule. But if things don't go well and they're struggling, at the very least, they're going to be slightly above 500.
Yeah, like I said kind of at the top of the show, I really think the Rams season will come down to how Matt Stafford performs as their starting quarterback. Yeah, this is a quarterback-driven league. Yeah, that gets said all the time, but it's completely true. I think if Matt Stafford can allow Sean McVay to unlock his playbook, the Rams could be very dangerous. Yeah, I could see them battling with either the 49ers or the Seahawks to win this division. But if, you know, things don't click or don't click right away, maybe they wind up in a hole to start the season. You know, there's a few too many bumps in the road. I think they'll probably be fighting for maybe third in the division. But I'm right there with you. I think they could win this division, or they could be a team that just misses out on a wild card, but also plays spoiler for a lot of other teams. And you know, they are well coached with Sean McVay. They've got a good quarterback with Matt Stafford. They've got great defensive players in Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. So I think that really does make them a team to be respected, where, you know, you cannot take this team lightly.
No, you cannot take this team lightly at all. For a lot of those reasons that I think we both mentioned here, they are just too competitive of a roster to say, oh, well, if they struggle and certain things don't work out, they're going to be a bad team. They'll be picking in the top 10. It's just not going to happen. Sean McVay is too good of a head coach. They've got too much elite talent at important positions for them to not at the very least be sitting at 9-8, worst case, 8-9. Like, absolute worst case, 8-9. They have too much talent. But, you know, like you said, though, I don't even think that's a remote possibility. I don't think that this Rams team is going to even come anywhere near that. They're probably going to be in close competition for some type of a playoff spot to try and make it to the NFL playoffs next year because of that big change of going and getting Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, I think if the Rams come in at below 500, they had a couple tough losses, and it just this division with the Seahawks still being good, the 49ers getting healthy, the Cardinals, you know, hoping to take that leap as Kyler Murray enters his third year. They've added to their offensive line. They get another whole year with new Hopkins. You know, maybe they take a jump, and this division just beats itself up. I think that's how the Rams finish below 500.
Yeah, and you hit some maybe significant injuries along the way where they have less depth could lead to something along those lines, which you could say that about any team, but you know, in this circumstance, that's probably what they would need for that to happen. Folks, that's going to be it from us on today's episode. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to hit the subscribe button. Leave us a 5-star review if you enjoy listening. We're getting close to the NFL season, so make sure you don't miss out on any preseason content before we get rolling into that regular season for the New York Giants. Also follow us on Twitter at Joe DeLeon, at Raptor MKII, and at Big Blue View on Twitter and Instagram. Talk to you soon, folks. Enjoy the rest of your week and your weekend.